Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
amongst one of the top causes of stress and anxiety and worry in adults is financial health. It's up there with climate, anxiety and so on. It's a really huge worry for people, and this time of year is a really difficult one.
I'm not going to eat even though my cupboards are still full of Christmas food. I'm not going to drink even though my fridge is still full of beer. It becomes too much, and then you have a drink. You're still doing your 10,000 steps and you're not eating the chocolate, but you got failed.
So
forget everything.
There's a great deal of shame. Like, what have I done wrong? Why am I in this situation? Why have I got myself in this situation? But in reality, like, the world is a very difficult place right now.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome back to another edition of Mental Health Monday. More than 300 episodes available for you to download if you want to check out previous conversations, and a million and one more conversations I am certain to have over the coming years. Thanks to people on social media who reminded me this week that we're 6 years on now from the 24-hour mental health show that we did on Radio City Talk back in January of 2018 on what was Blue Monday, the most depressing day of the year, not really, sort of thing. What an occasion that was. 24 hours. We went on the radio at 9 o'clock in the morning and we just did a whole day's worth of radio until midnight and then carried on through the night and through into breakfast the next day. It was such an unbelievable time. My producer Lizzie Doyle, who's gone on to incredible things, Dave Downey, Layla Wright, and alongside me, Jake Mills, who you'll know from the podcast as well. He was in the studio the entire time, almost as like the Jiminy Cricket, making sure that everything we were talking about was absolutely on point from a mental health point of view. Such a fantastic occasion. A little bit of radio history. No one had ever done it ever in the history of radio. So it was brilliant to do the world's first 24-hour show. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for your tweets, your pictures that you sent in as well. Really appreciated them. Crack it on with 2024. January, a really tough month for some people. It's been really, really cold as well this year, harder to get out and about. And actually, more data, more stats are coming through which show what people are going through, particularly in January 2024. Although, whenever you're listening to this, it will be relevant. The third week of January is when most people expect to feel the biggest squeeze on their finance. And actually, people saying that this January is the worst January ever in terms of their own money worries. Half blaming Christmas spending, 2 out of 5 pointing towards the increase in energy costs. They're up again. And then, of course, debt as well, which is this ongoing factor which people are going through. And of course, that has an impact. And it's interesting that we've had this phrase, money worries. We've always used the phrase money worries. But have we ever considered what are the long-term and lasting implications for money worries on our mental health? You know, what does it look like? How long can we go on struggling financially before we start to turn on ourselves and affect the way I'm thinking? Because ultimately, your finances are what's going on in your bank balance. It's the up, it's the down, it's the zeros, it's the minuses and all that kind of stuff. But what are the consequences of that? How does that make you feel about yourself? How does that make you feel about your ability to support the people around you? And of course, if you can't afford to heat your home, you're not going to be in a good place. If you can't afford to support your family, you're not going to be in a good place. If you can't afford your mortgage payments, or you foresee a time where your rent is due and you're not going to be able to pay, how does that make you feel about your sense of self-worth? It's a really important conversation, and it's one we're going to have today with friend of the show, Dr. Alex George. Now, I'll mention here that he went on Love Island, but he won't thank me for it. Dr. Alex George, who's a government advisor when it comes to mental health, got a big campaign ongoing at the moment for young people to get access to youth hubs within their local area. He makes reference to that. But we're talking about the fact that January can be a tough time. January resolutions, New Year's resolutions that people think, oh, I failed, so I'll stop straight away. We're going to talk about that. What are those steps that you can take to think positively at times when things are really difficult for you in January? We'll talk about that too, because Alex has had his own difficulties, which he touches on as part of the conversation. It's a relatively short conversation for the podcast this week, but I think we get through lots in it. So Dr. Alex George talking about money worries and potentially their impact on our mental health.
Well, I mean, amongst one of the top causes of stress and anxiety and worry in adults is financial health. It's up there with climate, anxiety and so on. It's a really huge worry for people. And, you know, this time of year is a really difficult one. I mean, the research that Nationwide Building Society has done, 84% of people are saying this January they think it's going to be the toughest one yet. So we've seen the cost of living crisis and what that's done. And obviously, look, I'm not here to talk about financial advice. I'm not from that background. But, you know, the reason I'm here is because the link between that and mental health is massive. You know, there's a word that we haven't really, or a phrase we haven't been using until recently so much, which is financial health. You know, and financial health is your physical, mental, and emotional state, you know, that relationship of that with finances. And, you know, for me, the biggest thing that I say, you know, like to anyone who's worrying about anything, please don't face it on your own. And, you know, I've had so many messages over the years of people have struggled with stuff on their own, not ever told anyone, not shared. And, you know, the work that you've been doing, you have very similar stories of people who just kept quiet and quiet rather than talking to someone. And it's not saying that we can just like make the challenge or the financial worry go away. But, you know, as my mum always said to me when I was growing up, like a problem shared is a problem halved. You know, and I love the analogy that I use when I go to schools that, you know, if the kids are going out onto the playground to play football and there's a branch in front of the goal, for one kid or one child, that could be really heavy to move. But for a load of children, they get out of the way and they get on with the game. And that's not to be disparaging or to minimize, you know, financial worries, but it is to say, look, please don't face it. And for men, it's a big thing. A lot of times men don't want to talk about it as well, of course.
I think culturally as well, a little bit like the world we're coming from a mental health point of view, there's an assumption or an assessment from yourself that if you've got financial problems, it's your fault and it's up to you to deal with it. And actually, that's very much the case for people who have mental health struggles. And actually, those two are running very clearly in parallel, aren't they, from that point of view?
You hear it all the time that people think they're a failure if they've struggled. And I've been through terrible times, darkness in my mental health, been through very difficult times. I've actually been introducing very difficult financially. I'm at uni and med school. You know, the times I was looking at the bank balance of the fiver and thinking, I don't make five quid, go a good couple of days here. You know, that those kind of worries. And I think there's a great deal of shame, like, what have I done wrong? Why am I in this situation? Why have I got myself in this situation? But in reality, like, the world is a very difficult place right now. And like, there's a lot of things that are going outside of your locus of control. And I love the idea of the phrase, the sphere of influence, is that a lot of the time, we forget, we think that everything's in our sphere of influence, but actually there's so much stuff that's outside of that. And the things you can really control is your reaction to things that are happening. And basically the way that you treat other people, the way you treat yourself, and often the thing that really falls short is that we don't treat ourselves very kindly. It was so harsh to themselves. That's why I struggle with New Year, New Me, and New Year's resolutions. I mean, some people find it useful and that's brilliant, but I hear a lot of people being like really hard on themselves rather than being like, you know what? I did amazing 2023. I got through a difficult year. Proud of myself. It's like, oh, I need to scrap this and do this completely different, start again, new me, get rid of this. It's always very harsh. It's not what you think. It's very harsh on yourself, really.
I think there's that element, isn't there, whereby what you want to do is you want to naturally grow, don't you? Mm-hmm. You want to grow, and you want to grow with the right things around you and get yourself to a mm-hmm. better place. And I think sometimes it feels like that grow needs an absolute, you know, a jump start, and that can be fine. Mm-hmm. The danger is this baby in the bathwater, isn't it, whereby suddenly you go, I need to change everything about... Nobody likes change. No, everyone can do nine things the same and then change one thing. That's the... You know, if you want to start going for a walk at 6:30 p.m. every single night and listen to a podcast for half an hour and that gets you 10,000 steps in, that's the sort of change which you go, that's a manageable change. But if you suddenly go, I'm not going to eat even though my cupboards are still full of Christmas food. I'm not going to drink even though my fridge is still full of beer. I'm not going to... It becomes too much. And then you have a drink... You're still doing your 10,000 steps and you're not eating the chocolate, but you got off failed. So
yeah.
Forget everything.
It's called, they call it psychology, black and white thinking. It's all or nothing thinking. It's thinking, well, either I'm 100% successful or I'm 100% failure. And that's very unhelpful. And actually, it's the main reason that 90 to 95% of people who start the gym on the 1st of January aren't still going at the end of the January. It's nothing to do with their willpower. It's nothing to do with their strength of like wanting to do things. It's the how that's really important. It's that all or nothing. Oh, I've missed 2 days in the gym. I'm a failure. Of course you're not. Of course you're not. You know, I always say to people, you have benefited from every good thing you've done for yourself. Even if you've gone to the gym for 6 months and not gone for 6 months, you benefited from 6 months at the gym. You spent 6 months of building your mental health, your physical health. Today's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. You know, let's pick it up and let's go again. So I think, yeah, I mean, the thing that I do in the new year, and I think it's useful to do it 2 or 3 times a year, I do a life audit. So write down a piece of paper, listen, blank piece of paper is all you need, 10 areas of your life that matter to you. And I leave that broad because I could write down tennis, I could write down walking outside, I could write down mental health, fitness, whatever matters to me, 10 things. And you put 1 to 10, from 1 low score, 10 the highest score, how you think you're doing in that. Just gut feeling, right? And what you do is you circle the 3 highest scores, 3 lowest scores. And you circle 3 highest scores because often we don't give ourselves a pat on the back for the things that we've done well. 2023, I lost so much weight and I'm fit and healthy. I want to be like, well done. It's like, that was a hard year. I went through a lot to be there. Don't let that go. Like you said, check the baby out, you know, baby out the bathroom. Like, I'm proud of doing that. But then you do pick three things, and that these things you can manage. You go, well, actually, I'd like to see my friends a little bit more. I'd like to go and do a bit more traveling. And I'd love to, I think my mind was like picking up a new hobby. So I was like, right, nothing drastic. I'm going to make sure that every once a week I see a friend, and make sure at least once a year I'm going to try and go away, even if it's like a weekend, you know, somewhere local, go away somewhere, do something. And I used to play tennis, and I promised myself as the weather gets better, I'm going to play tennis. They're all manageable things that are not huge changes. And I'd recommend that to anyone. If you're looking to make a bit of a change, just a much healthier approach than, right, scrap everything. What's the Bible of health? And let's follow that, you know?
This isn't a New Year's resolution. We're slightly off topic here, but leaving WhatsApp groups is one of the best things you can do for your mental health. I don't know if you've ever found yourself where you look at your phone and there's like three chats and they've each got 57 conversations going on, and you're like, goodness me, I just don't have time for that. I'm out of here. And those are the sorts. And the thing is, it's anything you do now is like, right, you're in a WhatsApp group. It's the kids club. It's the after school thing. It's some activity you did. It's the people you used, not the job you've got now, the job you had before, that WhatsApp group. You're still in that one too. Stepping away from that, I find, just stops the notifications coming through and stops you looking at your phone. It becomes a job, doesn't it, almost, to sort of maintain that life that you've got going on.
Well, it comes down to what you're talking about, really, is boundaries, isn't it? That boundary between your headspace and everything, the noise that happens around you, and whether that's WhatsApp groups, whether that's people in your life that actually maybe you have, like you said, you want to grow, you've grown. No, the reality is people grow in different directions. They are at different paces. We're all on different timelines, and that's okay. But I think, yeah, I mean, protecting your headspace is super important. To be honest, I think one of the biggest things that helped me last year is I've got a screen time thing on my phone so that it stops me being on there too long. It's such a simple thing, but it really helps. You can't beat algorithms. Algorithms are more intelligent than we are. Simple as, they're literally designed to work with our brain to make us do things. You can't beat them. What you can do is use tech against them. So the screen time is a huge change. Similar idea, I guess, just not having the noise there all the time. So you've got space to kind of deal with it. And actually, that can be quite important, social media, because lots of times you see social media people put out holidays, doing all these different fancy things. And if you're in financial worries and you're struggling with financial health and stuff like that, seeing those things can actually just make you feel even worse about yourself. So watch out for comparison. I mean, people talk about comparison culture with like body image and young people, but actually it affects every age and every generation. I had a psychiatrist say to me a couple of months ago that they really struggle with social media because they're looking at other consultants, psychiatrists, and how many papers they're publishing and how many conferences they're speaking at. So, you know, sometimes it's quite easy to say, oh, it's just for kids. It's not, is it? Human beings compare. To be human is to compare. And so you have to just be a bit aware of those things. Sometimes we really work against ourselves, even with the best intentions.
Let's just bring us back onto the point around the finances. During the COVID pandemic, there was an instant reaction of like, oh, we need to look out for people. People need to be careful because of the consequences of lockdowns and so on and so forth. And then a lot of people said, well, hang on a minute, it's not going to be now. It's going to be 5 years' time. It might be 10 years' time. And we started to actually see that now, particularly with young people and the experience that they're having. The cost of living crisis, what potentially could be a factor from this? Like, because if inflation falls and people revert to a normal again, there is a danger, isn't there, that actually the mental health impacts of that cost of living crisis we don't see until further down the line. What might be coming, do you think, in regard to this, that we might have to deal with in 2, 3, 4, 5 years' time?
Well, it's a really good point. And I think the reality is that there is a huge delay between action and result, action and reaction. About these things, like the mental health crisis we're seeing now, is partly due to the pandemic. It's also partly to do with the academic pressures and how society's changed with social media over the years. We're now seeing the result 5, 10 years ago. And this also means that the things we're doing now, which are good, like, I mean, one of the things that I campaigned for when we got was early support hubs for young people, which we're aiming for national rollout. We've got more counselling and funding for schools, which is really important. We're looking to change the curriculum. But ultimately, those things, yeah, they might help now, but really you're going to see the results in 2, 3, 5, 10 years. And the worry is obviously with the pandemic, but also the cost of living crisis is, yeah, we're seeing some of that now. But realistically, you're going to see that, like, drag on for several years because, you know, look at it this way. I mean, loads of students I spoke to through the pandemic who were isolated beyond belief, really, During the pandemic, you heard about universities where they were like isolated, you know, completely on their own for such a long period of time away from their families. The psychological impact of that's going to last for a long time, especially if someone hasn't had therapy to deal with it. That might have a hangover for years. So yeah, the worry is for me is like what's to come. And I think that's why we have to be both proactive and reactive with mental health. We need to think like what's out there when people are really struggling, but also how do we change things that prevent this in the future? And I think, you know, what it really reminds you is that mental health relates to everything, and everything relates to mental health, finances, the world, you know, climate change. One of the biggest causes, top three causes of anxiety and worry amongst young people under 25, climate change, huge worry. So by dealing with climate change, you're not just dealing with a fundamental thing that we need to face, you're actually also supporting people's mental health. So, you know, I think a lot of the time we separate mental health, but actually it's everything. Everything is about mental health. You know this. I mean, you've got some awards behind you for the work you've been doing with mental health. You know this to be the case. And I think that's what we need to a society, is that we often talk about mental health as a separate thing. It's everything.
The phrase I use is mental health in everything. I think there should be a government minister for the mental health and everything, so that every time some a decision is made, you go, and what will the mental health impacts be? Because actually that is a long-term and foreseeable issue.
Well, one of the things I've said many times that we should have cross-party group that looks at mental health and the implications of everything with mental health. I've said that, you know, many times. You know, obviously, you know, we've had a minister that relates to mental health specifically, but obviously because of the interrelation, I mean, I do a lot of work with the Department of Education, a lot with the Department of Health, and obviously, you know, there is a lot more cross-talking, particularly with the hubs that we're doing and the mental health support teams, because there's crossover. But the realization, our learning point is actually, how can you decide which department's responsible for that? Because the teachers will tell you, well, the children's mental health's good, they learn better, the academia is better. And then the mental health nurses and doctors will tell you that when the school environment is more conducive to mental health, the mental health's better. So whose job is it? It's everyone's job, isn't it? Exactly as you said, literally what you said.
Absolutely. Dr. Alex, I know you're a busy man this morning in terms of plenty of people to speak to. So thank you for setting a little bit of time aside for us. Really appreciate your time.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for what you're doing, Mick. It's lovely to speak to you.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.